This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladef. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladef, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm very well, thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to chat to you. So interesting this morning that we get to talk about Malka Leifer again and what is happening back in Israel in this case. For anybody who hasn't heard our reports before, 30-second overview. Who on earth is Malka Leifer?
So 30-second overview, she was principal of a school called the Beit Rivka College in Melbourne. Beit Rivka College being a member of the Adas Israel section of the Jewish community. So an insular, if I can call it that way, an insular section of the community essentially that overwhelmingly don't watch television, keep to themselves, et cetera, et cetera, ultra-Orthodox. And many years ago, it became apparent amongst the community that she was about to be charged with child sexual abuse in Melbourne. And literally overnight, she was put on a plane and sent off to Israel. And 74 cases later in the court system in Israel attempting to extradite her to Australia after 74 hearings, appearances, etc., she was finally extradited back to Australia, and where she is now in jail in Melbourne facing 74 charges, the same number, 74 charges of child sexual abuse in the court system here in Melbourne. Now, why this, and she's due to have her next hearing in July, sometime next month.
Right.
Now, why this is back in the news now is that during this whole protracted period of the Australian judicial system trying to have her extradited back to Australia, one of the issues which occurred was that the then Israeli health minister named Rabbi Yaakov Litzman spoke out in her defense, but said that she was not mentally able to fly back to Australia to be extradited and to face a court system here in Australia. And the Attorney General in Israel has now formally notified Rabbi Litzman that he is to be indicted for allegedly interfering in her case by trying to prevent her being extradited back to Australia. In other words, at the time Rabbi Litzman spoke out, there was a lot of controversy about her mental state. And was she or was she not mentally fit to come back to Australia, A, to be extradited, and B, to face the court system here? And Rabbi Litzman at the time said she was not mentally fit to be put through that process. And as I just mentioned, she has now been formally notified by the AG, by the Attorney General in Israel, that he is to be charged with interfering in her case, and not only that, but he will be indicted for breach of public trust and allegedly interfering with the court proceedings relating to the Malka Leifer case. So it's a tangential issue, but certainly one which certainly was a factor in the fact that it took approximately 8 years for this whole extradition process to reach its conclusion. We saw her sent back to this country at the end of last year, and as I say, now facing court proceedings here in Melbourne.
It was certainly for me, and you and I spoke about this a lot, was immensely frustrating to see that the health minister was so involved in this case and very clearly doing what he could to stop the extradition. It was really, really quite appalling. I mean, I have no idea really legally what they can throw at him and what the repercussions can be, what the punishment can be. But whatever it is really absolutely, it's so important that this case goes ahead in Israel.
Absolutely. And, you know, and for those who claim to be the victims of Malka Leifer, and in particular the three names which are in the forefront of this whole case, are three sisters, members of the ultra-Orthodox community in Melbourne, three sisters who claim to be the primary victims of sexual abuse allegations at the hands of Malka Leifer. And they're the ones who again, of course, Malka Leifer is innocent until proven guilty, that goes without saying, But these three sisters obviously need to have their day in court, you know, for their mental well-being.
Absolutely. So
case can come. Whichever one way or the other.
As you and I have spoken about as well, I'm not so caught up in this innocent until proven guilty thing. If you spend years and years and years keeping out of court, I think at some point you lose that privilege because you prove that you actually don't really have an interest in the case being resolved. Either way, community is concerned as well as to what's happening at Moriah College. What is happening at Moriah College?
The Moriah College, just to remind those who are unaware, is the oldest Jewish school in Australia, and certainly the largest Jewish school here in Melbourne with approximately 2,000 students. Two things have happened within the Moriah College framework which have caused a great deal of angst and concern, not just within the Moriah extended family, but amongst the community itself. And one is, I remember in my day when I was editor of the Australian Jewish News, every time the matric results happened, Moriah College for many years was amongst the top 10 or 12 or 13 schools in the state in terms of matric results. Always did outstandingly. At the end of last year, at the end of 2020, Moriah placed 41st in the state. Now, one can say, yes, that's still amazing when one considers that there are around 5,000 schools in the state. So to come 41st is, you know, not bad. But when one considers that it used to come in the top 10 or 12, 41st is a significant drop. Secondly, as we have reported before on this in this bulletin, is that just recently a man who was the former, he was the bookkeeper, the accountant, I don't know exact title, but somewhere in the financial system, was found guilty in the court of law in this country of ferreting, of pilfering $7 million out of Moriah College funds. Now, so Moriah College parents and the community are saying, what is going on there? Under the watch of Moriah College, how can someone steal $7 million? There's a significant money in any language. And secondly, what's happened to its education system, where it can drop so dramatically to 41st, where it used to come in the top 10 or 12. And so for both those reasons, there's a lot of concern. There's also, and I don't know if this is actually happening, but there's a lot of, a rumor has it that a lot of people are leaving the school and going elsewhere. And interestingly, with a South African connection, there's a school here called Redham, which was founded by Graham Crawford. And Redham is doing very well in the matric results and is doing better than Moriah College in the 2020 matric results. And according to people who one talks to, whether it's true or not, I don't know, a number of Moriah parents are leaving Moriah and trying to get into Redham House, et cetera. And so there's that concern happening for both of those reasons and attaching to that significant number of letters to the editor in the Jewish media saying what's happening at Moriah and, you know, how can this money be pilfered? What's happening to the education standards, etc.? So given that it's Moriah, like I say, the oldest, the largest school, certainly in Sydney, it's something which is causing concern, you know, among many, many sections of the community.
So interesting, because it's exactly the type of thing, and I'm not saying obviously dropping matric results and money, etc., but these types of ebbs and flows around Jewish schools and Jewish education, so common really around the world, everybody and every community, I think, dealing with the same types of issues. Vic Adedepar, CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, thank you for speaking to us, as you do every week at this time.